Welcome to the Climate Conscious Podcast, where we discuss all things sustainable. I'm your host, Deval Bazi, and today's special guest is Kavir Mutu. Hi, Kavir.
Hi, Deval.
Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Kavir Mutu is an artist who creates wearable, sustainable art. He's passionate about environmental sustainability, art, design, fashion, nature, landscape architecture, and societal issues. And these inform his work. He started a hand-painted organic, sweatshop-free t-shirt business 5 years ago. And this has since evolved to include upcycled clothing and paintings. The name of his business is A Gardener's Heart, the divine play of Kavir Mutu, which he operates out of his home studio in San Fernando. Kavir, tell us about A Gardener's Heart.
Okay, so the name came about because of my love for the garden and for nature. I grew up in this house that I still live in, and we had a beautiful garden. I grew up with in contact with plants. I live also near to the sea, and we would spend time down at Mayaro very often. So I've always been very appreciative of the environment, very aware of the environment. So my heart is in the garden. That's where the name of the business came from. So I started it about 5 years ago. I had returned to a fine art practice about 12 years ago when I was still doing landscape architecture. When I started back my art practice, it was on paper with linocut prints. I've always been attracted to the idea of t-shirts. I did a few t-shirts like that. Now, at that time as well, I wanted some new clothes. You know, I didn't have money, $300, $400, $500 for a new shirt. So I did some artwork on the shirt to create a new look. And that was very rewarding. I did some work on t-shirts that I found here. But then I said, if I'm going to do this as a business, I can't be contributing to the problem. And I need my t-shirts to align with my values. So I spent a good while looking for organic and sweatshop-free t-shirts. Happy with the source that I found, and I've been using them since. I ordered them from a company in the States, and they are organic. They're organic certified, and they are made by unionized workers in the States. Now, I know that there's an issue of the air miles are involved with that. What I will do from now on, and what I'll do retroactively, is to cover my carbon emissions involved in transport. So you could do that through a company. What one company that I'm looking at is called the Gold Standard, where they offset carbon emissions involved in transport.
So Kavir, the global fashion business is a $1 trillion industry. Its value has been forecasted at $1.5 trillion for 2020. And I was surprised to note how energy consuming, polluting, and wasteful the industry is. I learned that the fashion industry consumes more energy than aviation and the shipping industry combined, and is actually responsible for approximately 10% of global greenhouse gas emissions. So in addition to the environmental impact, there are also some socioeconomic issues, such as the existence of sweatshops. And I know you mentioned that you source your material from sweatshop-free providers.
Yes.
So what is sustainable fashion, and why should fashion be ethical?
Sustainable basically means that something can keep on at its current rate indefinitely. It can sustain itself. And the way that societies evolved and people live, they're just taken way too much from the earth. So the way that we live is not sustainable. Continually taking too much from the earth, buying too much stuff, and all of that requires, as you said, energy to be made. For energy to be used, it emits carbon emissions. Those carbon emissions are what cause global warming. Now, in terms of fashion, it starts off, people clothe themselves out of necessity to protect themselves from the natural elements. And then it became an expression of yourself, your culture, your tribe, as it were. It was used for special occasions. People would only have had as much clothes as they needed. But what happened is, in modern times, it's become a part of the whole issue of materialism, and where people are relying on things to feel good about themselves and just buy, you know, so much more. Now, I'm not saying that retail therapy is entirely bad. If you do need or want a, you know, new shirt or dress because it's nice and, you know, you'll feel good in it, then fine. But the problem is when you do it multiple times a week or a month, that's the problem. And all of the clothes require things to be made. The cotton, the linen, which are natural materials, and then the synthetic materials, things like polyester, nylon, which have their own problems. But everything requires energy to be made. The fact is that we're putting too much carbon emissions into the atmosphere. This is causing the planet to warm up. Now, we don't know what we're messing with. People say that, you know, God is a trinity and we're south of the hurricane belt and we're okay. But we don't know what we're messing with. And we can already see the effects. Look at Mayaro. I remember going to Mayaro when I was young. That beach used to be so wide. The beach is not wide anymore. The sea is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm familiar with the coast down in La Brea, Granville.
Yes, I went to Granville recently, and you're seeing the shoreline being eroded more and more.
It's incredible. Now, the sad thing is that we in the southern, in the geographical south of the planet and small islands are going to suffer the most. Whereas it's the big industrialized countries like the States and Europe and China that are creating most of the problems.
Yeah, I touched on that in episode 7 with Dr. Keston Perry.
Yes.
The difference between the global north and the global south, and those contributing to the climate change crisis and those that are feeling the brunt of its impacts.
Yes.
You raise an issue about our reliance or our relationship with things, and which has led to us consuming so much.
Yes.
And that in itself leaves a heavy environmental footprint.
Yes.
If we look at the three phases of the fashion industry life cycle, production, yes, consumption, and disposal, there are many negative impacts that are incurred along the way. Can you elaborate on some of those negative impacts?
Well, in terms of construction or production, as I mentioned before, there's the energy involved in the actual production of the garment, as well as who it's made by. So a lot of workers who produce clothes that are part of the big brands, they would be paid and treated very poorly. They would be in developing countries, mainly where there aren't union laws. Also in production, for example, cotton uses a hell of a lot of pesticide and fertilizer. So this is conventionally grown cotton. Now, these chemicals end up in our water bodies, where they affect marine life. You know, they affect as well the ecosystems on the land where the cotton was being grown. In terms of, so then the clothes are made. So if they're made in Bangladesh, for example, they need to then reach the stores, you know, another part of the world, and that would incur carbon emissions. Then from the store, so say for example, you're buying whether you're buying off of you know, Amazon or a store even here in Trinidad, it still needs to be transported here, and that requires transport as well, which incurs its carbon emissions. The other aspect that you mentioned was about waste. There are two aspects of waste in the actual production of an item of clothes. When an item is cut from a piece of fabric. There's a lot of waste from the fabric, the ends and of it and so on. And I mean, the waste problem is huge, and these land up in landfills, and our landfills, the world's landfills are getting full.
Yes.
So there are designers who are working to reduce their waste. One such person is a designer called Wania. She works out of Chaguanas, and she tries to be zero waste. The other thing about waste is that if we continually buy way more clothes than we need, the fashion industry, because for a variety of reasons, I guess the bottom line is to make more money, they've just been putting out clothes at a ridiculous rate.
Like, yes, we have the issue of fast fashion.
Right.
Why is that a problem?
Fast fashion basically refers to the speed with which new designs come out, and people are encouraged to buy and then dispose to go on to the next season's designs and look. Now, why that's a problem is because in order to keep up with that fast rate, you need materials that are grown quickly, and that's where fertilizers and pesticides come in. The other issue with fast fashion is that it's made in a way that it feeds off of the trending fashions of the big houses, the big fashion houses. So fast fashion will feed off the designs of the big fashion houses.
Mm-hmm.
And people will be encouraged to buy cheaper versions of those looks.
So like the Fashion Novas.
Yes.
And then there's a big issue with them copying the designs of luxury brands.
Yes. And then there's the issues of, you know, integrity and intellectual property, because, you know, it's an artist's, a designer's, a creative's vision. So how can you then go and take that and make cheap versions to sell quickly?
Well, and then someone might say that I want to be in style too, but I can't afford these luxury brands, so give me some fast fashion at an affordable price.
Then the whole issue, I think, is why do you need to feel in fashion based on what a big European or American fashion brand says is fashionable?
We get in deep here, Kavir. Yes, I mean that's an important.
That is the biggest. You don't need to match up to that standard to feel good about yourself or to look good or think you're successful. That is where a big issue is.
I mean, it takes us back to our colonial past, which, as we see, it's still very present with us today. If you wear a shirt, jacket, and tie, you are deemed professional.
Right.
Whereas these items may not be suitable for our climate.
Absolutely.
You know, and you may be more comfortable and more productive in a cotton shirt.
Yeah. And the way that say, for example, buildings are air conditioned, so they're so cold. There's no need, you know, for that. So you then have to wear
warm clothing. So you touched on two important issues of overconsumption,
mm-hmm.
and also waste.
Yes.
If a product or a service is to be sustainable, they have to look at the full life cycle and ways in which they can reduce the negative impact along that life cycle. For example, the brand Stella McCartney describes their philosophy as believing that the future of fashion is circular.
Yes.
It was restorative and regenerative by design, and the clothes we love never end up as waste.
Nice.
So I know you have this new clothes from old clothes concept, where a piece of clothing can have multiple lives. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, it's basically about not needing to buy a new piece of clothing, that it could be amended. You know, first of all, if you have a piece of clothing, it needs to be repaired. And, you know, so, you know, I've seen this with myself, just in terms of, say, shoes. If the soles have started to come off, I would, in the past, have just gone and bought a new pair of shoes. What I I've done in the last few years is to repair my shoes, you know, to stick it. You know?
I'm guilty of that as well. I mean, one time we would find a shoemaker, but now you just replace it.
Yeah, the thing is, the great thing about it is that you save money as well, and then you can therefore use your money for buying something more special. So instead of wasting money all over on stuff that's unnecessary, it could be saved to put to a good product that you connect with in some way that has a positive social impact, or that is beautiful. Now, in terms of this new clothes from old clothes idea, I started it. I've done it for myself, as I said, when I, you know, before I started working exclusively on t-shirts, where I wanted new looks for myself. So I did some art on it, and then I got a new look, and it's amazing how one piece of clothing can change so much based on what you do. And I mean, what I do is I paint. I can do the work of a tailor or a dressmaker, but work can also be done with them in that way. So for example, a long sleeve shirt can become a short sleeve shirt, can then become a vest, and then it can become a short sleeve shirt again, and then a long sleeve shirt again. You just need to work with it, right? And, you know, patches can be put on it. And so there are all kinds of ways, right? Now, what I've done with some of mine is that one piece, for example, that I could think of in particular, I did a small bit of work on it. You know, I literally have that one t-shirt for 5 years, and I look after it very well, which is another important aspect of being sustainable in your clothing. You know, clothes don't need to be washed in a washing machine. It could be very gently washed by hand, and therefore it'll last longer. You know, I have items of mine that are, you know, 5 years old, and they look, you know, fine. So that's another important aspect.
I think it's important to purchase quality versus quantity of clothing.
A pair of pants were given to me, and I know where they were bought. And I know that they cost less than $100. And I also know that in a couple of weeks, the crotch bursted. You know, and then I think of, say, for example, classic clothes that you can wear for a variety of occasions, or that have a classic look. I think of the clothes, the shirts by The Cloth.
Mm-hmm.
And those are like timeless. And I know that people have those that are decades old. So to me, that is another example of how you can be sustainable, is to buy good quality things, you know, that have a meaning and that you attach to in some way, and you will therefore wear them over and over. Yeah.
When we talk about sustainable fashion, you know, it covers several of these sustainable development goals. Before I started looking into it, I wasn't mindful of the environmental and socioeconomic impact of fashion, but it covers things such as clean water, because the production of cotton, as an example, uses a lot of water.
Yeah, there are lakes in, I don't remember the name of the exact one that I'm thinking of, but it's in Asia, and it's been completely dried up because of all the water that was extracted for the production of clothes.
And then in terms of goal 13, which is climate action, as we discussed, a lot of carbon emissions are generated from the production and distribution of fashion items.
Yes.
It also affects life below water, because the fashion industry uses a lot of plastic for its packaging.
Yes.
And we know plastic somehow always finds its way to our oceans.
Yes.
Well, this episode will come out in July, which is Plastic Free July.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I'm really going to reduce my interaction with single-use plastics. Yes. And I know it will be a challenge, but I am taking on the challenge. And hopefully I will be able to adopt the habit going forward, not just for July.
Yes. In terms of clothes and plastics, synthetic fibers, which are things like nylon, polyester, rayon, when those are washed, those produce microplastics, which land up in the seas. And these then ingested. I just want to mention this before I forget. There's a great Instagram page and website called Fashion Revolution, and they do a lot of awareness. They do a lot of education, a lot of advocacy for getting a fashion industry that is more environmentally sustainable and socially responsible. So those chemicals, those microplastics land up in the sea, and they're, you know, ingested by marine life. You know, then we eat that marine life.
Mm-hmm. That does our food chain.
Yes. It's a lot, but I think that we are at a time people have been talking about the importance of us addressing environmental issues, I mean, for decades. I mean, there are people, like, for example, who in the 70s, who started talking about capsule wardrobes. The environmental movement is old. The thing is that we're at a time where it's like the 11th hour.
Yeah. And
it's critical, and we're facing the adverse effects. Well, we were given first a period to reflect on how we move forward with COVID. Then we have the Black Lives Matter movement, which is addressing the history that the world has faced and how society has been built and how it could be, what a different future could look like. I hope for everybody's sake that we move forward in a way that will, you know, basically save us. You know, the figures are so serious in that, you know, we must reach a limit of carbon emissions by a certain year before the changes are irreversible. I just wonder about, you know, say young people having children now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of a risky thing, because you don't know what, if they're going to have a future. And that's not far-fetched, right?
No, it isn't. And the thing about it is that it's all connected. We are all in this ecosystem, and everything we do, from the type of transport you take, from the food that you consume, from the way you dispose of your garbage, from the clothing that you wear, everything yes. has an impact.
Absolutely. And the other interesting thing is what's called intersectional environmentalism, which is the way environmental concerns overlap with culture and society and economy. And it's all so connected, because the same way that we think that we can abuse the environment to serve us is the same way that some groups try to assert dominance over other groups.
Yes.
So it's all a system that we're now looking at that we can adjust and live a way that would be easier. But all of that living as well is so stressful. I think the future could be, I'm very worried, because I see a lot of people trying to go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
The old normal was not working. The old normal created a lot of problems. We created health problems for us. We became stressed out. We became envious, hateful. I hope that we do not return to what was happening before. We can live lives that mean a little bit more rather than making money.
Yeah, and acquiring things.
Yeah.
Yeah, we definitely need to do things differently.
Yep.
Not just with fashion, but with all aspects of our lives.
Yeah.
And it's really about embodying sustainability and what I like to call the 7 R's of sustainability.
Right.
So the first one being rethink.
Yes.
Examine our relationship with things. Do we need all this stuff? Or can we be happy with a more minimalist lifestyle? Secondly, refuse.
Yes.
Do I need another pair of jeans? Can I use something that exists in my closet? Then reduce.
Reduce, yes.
One of my goals is to create a capsule wardrobe.
Nice.
Because I found I have so much clothing and I only wear a few items.
Yeah, there are ways that people can build a good capsule wardrobe with people who are unfamiliar with the concept. It's basically a set of your staples that are bought in versatile or your favorite color, and that they would broadly go together. So say, for example, your favorite, you know, you're very partial to blue, then you can have a dark blue skirt, couple tops, you know, white and black always, safe bets. But then you have a couple items that are statement pieces or highlights that you can then add to that or accessorize to add some color. The whole idea is to have like a core set of things that you can use in a variety of ways, mix and match. And I think that's really important.
Well, the fourth one, of course, is reuse. So, you know, wear your stuff. There's this movement to get away from the idea of wearing your clothing once. And because it has been photographed, you don't want to wear it again. But that is so wasteful.
Yeah. My mother always used to say that she had a saying where it was something to the effect that you don't need to impress people with how you look, because it's about you as a person. So this dependence on how you look to impress people, for example, you know, to be looking different in every Instagram photo that you have, or, you know, for every wedding to have a different outfit on. I grew up completely in love with, say, for example, the Academy Awards and watching the red carpet.
Yes.
Now that was in the 80s. That was a very different time. While I love spectacle, I love fashion, I love drama, I love art, I love very extravagant pieces, there's a way it can be done. And there are designers internationally who are doing that. One such designer is called Ronald van der Kemp. He produces clothes out of reused material and he produces, you know, the most elaborate pieces. Now, what has happened this year, the award season will be like in January, February. The actor Joaquin Phoenix, he took a position where he wore the same suit to each award show. And I think that it's almost like if you're spending ridiculously, you're going to lose credibility. I mean, times have changed. The world is becoming so much more environmentally conscious that, you know, all these issues are going to tune into, you know, everything. But it's not important because of how you're perceived. It's important because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, but you know, people always need motivation. And especially now as the world is going through a global economic recession, or some might say depression, it's a good time to make sustainable fashion sexy, you know?
Absolutely. It is. It's very sexy.
So the other R is repair, which might seem like a no-brainer. But yes, you can mend your clothing instead of just throwing it out because it has a tear or a button popped off.
Absolutely. Like as I was saying with the shoes that I had, you know, I would repair them. And those shoes weren't even mine. Those shoes were given to me by my father. And I was going to buy some new shoes. And I said, wait a second, what am I doing? And I took the shoes, I repaired them, and I did some painting on them. And I had my new shoes.
You see?
It's amazing how much it can save, and it actually feels really good to be wearing clothes that have a connection, because it means more to me that they were my father's. It means a lot to me that I reclaimed it and made it more mine. It means a lot to me because I worked on it, so I'm going out and I'm rocking my style. So this is one t-shirt in particular that I've created four looks for. I feel great when I wear it because I know that I'm being responsible with it towards the environment, towards the person who made it. You know, besides liking how the actual artwork looks, it's a feeling that you're doing something towards a cause that's better for everybody.
That's the kind of mindfulness I'm trying to generate through this podcast, that we are more mindful about our decisions, our actions, and how it interacts with the planet.
Great. Something else I wanted to touch on was, you know, I'm like horrified when I go outside and I see, say, for example, t-shirts by Abercrombie & Fitch or Giorgio Armani. And it could be visually appealing, but for one, it will be advertising a company and you're not getting paid for it because they have the big brand on it. But then it's like everybody has it. I think the clothes can be more interesting And because it's out in the public, it's almost as though you have an opportunity to enhance the visual experience of people. So, I mean, I see art clothes as well as a kind of, it could be a kind of public art, right? Where there's something visually appealing that's out there. It's obviously about feeling good about it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's about contributing to an atmosphere, an environment that is pleasing to look at, you know? And to me, that, you know, there are many ways that can be done, you know, through clothes, the jewelry that you have on, or the bag. But sometimes you don't want to be dressed up as well, so, and that's okay as well.
Yeah, I think that nicely summarizes what you do in terms of wearable art. It's about changing the way that we see ourselves,
yes,
and seeing value in ourselves, not from the items that we are wearing, in terms of who it's made by.
Right, exactly.
But deriving value from, you know, our connection with it and how it makes us feel. And also knowing that we are not negatively impacting the environment.
Yes.
And as we wrap up the hours of sustainability, repurpose, which it would include secondhand clothing, hand-me-downs, vintage or pre-owned clothing.
Right.
Growing up, you know, secondhand clothing was a thing, but it might, for some, it might seem as an indicator of your economic standing.
Yes.
But
it'll be down upon.
Mm-hmm. But there are different ways to look at it. For example, you know, that shoe that your father was able to pass to you, and there's a lot of sentimental value in it. I think secondhand clothing can be a bit of a tricky issue.
Yeah. There'll be difficulty, you know, as well with COVID and a lot of whether it's legitimate or not, you know, with clothes being washed, there should be no issue of transmission. But I think it's a hard sell psychologically. People will be, there's already the resistance to secondhand clothes.
Yeah. And now in the time of COVID,
it's a little bit more difficult. I remember when I first went to Canada, and my sister took me to a secondhand store, and I was horrified. I really didn't want to buy anything. To me, it was just like the most horrible thing. You know, how could you wear clothes that somebody else wore? I felt really strongly about that. Then a few years ago, I did a collection of clothes called the Connection Collection. And I just thought that it was so nice to be able to connect with somebody else through their clothes. So, I mean, I actually love the idea now, because if I wear, say, for example, a shirt that you have, I'm connecting with your history. I'm connecting with your humanity and your stories and your life and your power and your love and your hurts. And I think that's a very beautiful thing. So there's connection there that, you know, I think people miss out on, and it probably ties into the whole idea of individualism and materialism and needing to be special and better, and, you know, everything is so connected.
Yeah. We touched on recycle before,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen where persons get really creative with this. I think currently St. Joseph Convent San Fernando has a competition going on with upcycled fashion. So Kaviri touched on a number of interesting elements to sustainable fashion.
I like to encourage people to be more mindful about what they buy in general and about their spending habits. In terms of clothes, I think it's important to buy less, to, you know, choose what you're buying well, you know, so make sure it's well made, that you can wear a variety of things, or that you connect with it in a certain way, therefore you will value it more, therefore you will take care of it more, and it will last longer. I think that's the main thing that I would like to share about, you know, sustainability and fashion.
So where can listeners connect with you, Kavir?
So the name of my brand is A Gardener's Heart, the Divine Clay of Kavir Mutu. I am on Instagram at A_gardeners_ Heart. I'm also on Facebook at A Gardener's Heart, to the Divine Grave of Iremutu. And my work is available for purchase locally and internationally on the shopparib.com website. And my number is 366-9094.
Thank you, Kabir, for sharing your insights on sustainable fashion and helping us to be more mindful about the clothing that we wear and teaching us how we can look good and do good.
You are very welcome, Duval. Thank you so much for asking me. Thank you so much for your work. We're in this together.
Yes, team sustainability.
Yes.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share and leave a review. Connect with the Climate Conscious podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Climate Conscious. Thank you for listening.